We've entitled our lesson this afternoon, The Blessed Command. And if the verses look familiar, well, it's because our brother had them in his lesson this morning as part of it, talking about Jesus' love and how we ought to love each other. And this actually will be the basis for our lesson tonight, but maybe also to have some application in our lives and how we can participate in this commandment. So we'll read John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35 is our introduction. And this is from the New King James Version. All the scriptures will be from that version this evening. Should be very similar to the King James Version. Verse 34 of chapter 13, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another." In verse 35, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Now, when Jesus gave this new commandment, as he phrased it, he was referencing the relationship he desired for his disciples to have with each other. So we might ask ourselves how much we live up to this commandment of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Do we love one another? I would hope and pray that all of us would be able to answer that question, yes. Another question may be that we might ask ourselves, do we love one another as Jesus Christ loved us? In this songbook, there is a song on page 112 called "Angry Words, Oh Let Them Never." And that song, the people who put together this book, the songbook we have, reference the passage that we started with this evening. So this song speaks to this love that Christ spoke about. If we turn, I want us to, as we go through this lesson, I'll reference some of the verses of this song, and we'll sort of take our lesson from what this song talked about. In the first verse of that song, it says, "Angry words, oh let them never from the tongue unbridled slip. May the heart's best impulse ever check them, ere they soil the lip." And in verse 3, it reads, "Angry words are lightly spoken, bitterest thoughts are rashly stirred, brightest links of life are broken by a single angry word." In both these verses, we find that the focus is on the need to bridle the tongue. And so as we think about what Jesus said this new commandment was, first we want to look at this need to bridle our tongue. The tongue is a powerful member of our body. We should never forget that. In James chapter 3, verses 2 and 5, we notice that the tongue is difficult to control because it has the power to affect the direction of the whole body. James wrote, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles." And so James compares our small member called the tongue to a fire, or to a little fire that kindles a great forest fire, to a small rudder compared to the ship that it drives, and to the small bit that helps us to lead horses around by their mouths. And he says that if we can control the tongue, that we, in a sense, are a perfect and complete person, and we're able to control our whole bodies. This is quite a statement indeed, isn't it? In Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 through 35, we see that our words can reflect the true intention of our inward heart. Matthew said, "Brood of vipers," and he's quoting Jesus here, "how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things." And so Jesus would tell us that even though the tongue is a little member, it can speak about what is really in someone's heart. In Proverbs chapter 15, verses 1, 2, and 4, we are shown that the tongue retains the power to do good or to do evil. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. And so we can see that the scriptures bring out and tell us that the tongue is a very powerful member of our body. And so definitely there's a need to keep it under control and to bridle it. There are some advantages of restraining our tongue. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19, the scriptures encourage us that we can avoid sin by restraining our lips. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 23, the scriptures exhort us how we should keep our soul. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. In Proverbs 17, verses 27 through 28, the scriptures extol the virtues of sparing our words. He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. In Psalm 55, verses 12 through 14, the psalmist lamented about how disapproving speech can destroy friendships. "For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng." I believe the psalmist is helping us understand about those who are close and those who have good friendships, how a simple word can cause more pain and more hardship than any enemy could. It's said that those we love have the power to do the most damage to us. And I believe that's a principle that the psalmist was bringing out. We have to be very careful, especially about restraining our tongue around those who love us and those that we love, and especially with our brethren. So how then shall we use the tongue that needs to be bridled and restrained? We can speak words that are sweet to the soul. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24, "Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. We can have speech that is beautiful and precious. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. But we can also, unfortunately, speak idle words in which we may be condemned. Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 through 37, Jesus said, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Also, we need to remember that the tongue can defile the whole body. The simple actions of such a small member. In James chapter 3 and verse 6, after he said, "Look at what such a little fire can kindle," in verse 6 he said, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell." I don't believe James was saying that our tongue is a sinful thing and our tongue will absolutely send us to hell. But he was trying to show us the power of an unbridled and unrestrained tongue, and that the things that we say, we should make sure that we think about them. We should make sure that they are worth saying, especially to our brethren. To encourage the proper use of the tongue, the song, "Angry Words Will Let Them Never," in verse 2 and the chorus, reminds us of the importance of friendship and love. The second verse says, "Love is much too pure and holy. Friendship is too sacred far for a moment's reckless folly thus to desolate and mar." And the chorus says, "Love one another, thus says the Savior. Children, obey his blessed command." So in our final section tonight, we want to notice the importance of friendship and love and why we should be very careful with those we call friends and those we love. There are blessings to friendship. Some of us may have forgotten this. Like I said before, those you call your friends and those you love have power to hurt you. If that should happen, I want to encourage us not to give up on friendship and love. Some of the most beautiful passages in the Bible were expressions of love between friends and relatives. We look at Ruth chapter 1. Verse 16 and 17, which speaks of her love for her mother-in-law, Naomi. But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." Ruth certainly had the opportunity to leave her mother-in-law, Naomi. Naomi was alone in her family, and she had two sons who were gone now, and her husband was gone, and they were in a foreign land. One daughter-in-law decided to stay in that land when Naomi was going to go back to the Lord's people at that time. But Ruth decided to stay with her mother-in-law. And through that, she was blessed. We read about Jonathan's devotion to his friend David. In 1 Samuel chapter 18 and 1, the scriptures read, "Now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." We have that word soulmate that people talk about sometimes. And they probably have an incorrect view of what that is when they're talking about it. But I think, at least in this instance, we could say that Jonathan and David were truly soulmates. They were of one heart and one soul. We can read of Jesus' love for his disciple John. In John 19, verses 25 through 27, a brother spoke about this morning. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, which was John, standing by, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour that disciple took her to his own home. What love Jesus must have had for John in order to entrust his earthly mother to his care. We read about Paul's love for his fellow worker and son in Christ, Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. Good friends provide wonderful benefits. Ruth could have said no, or actually yes, to her mother-in-law's wish for her to stay there in that place. Jonathan could have went with his father and stayed on his father's side against David. Jesus could have chosen someone else besides the Apostle John to take care of his mother. And Paul didn't have to call Timothy his beloved son and tell him that he remembered him in prayers night and day and that he desired to see him, thinking about his tears. But friendships and loving those, especially of brethren, can provide wonderful benefits. A true friend is someone who can be relied on. Proverbs 17 and 17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Friendship is a service that we can offer to someone else. The rebuke of a true friend is of more value than the praise of an enemy. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Friends can wound us sometimes when we take what they're trying to help us with in the wrong way. The advice of a true friend can be precious. Proverbs 27 and 9, ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. And so we should seek to hang on to good friends. Proverbs 27, verse 10. Do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. So we find that we have a need to love one another, which was stressed again and again by John. John chapter 15 and verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you, quoting Jesus. And in John chapter 15, verse 17, again quoting Jesus, these things I command you, that you love one another. It is a blessed command. What blessings come with the command to love one another? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, our last passage. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. May this song, Angry Words Will Let Them Never, serve to remind us of the blessing and duty we have regarding our love and friendship as disciples of Christ. It's our lesson this afternoon. If you are here this afternoon and desire the church to pray for you, if you are a brother or sister in Christ, or if you have not obeyed the gospel, to be baptized for remission of your sins, then won't you come forward while we stand and sing.